Lashana Tova, Tiktay Vu. May you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom aleichem to all our listeners, which means peace be upon you. Let's open in prayer.
Abba, Father, we thank you, praise you, and give you our honor. Guide us by the light of your Holy Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We continue to lift up all our loved ones that need your salvation. Please keep pulling at the strings of their hearts and do whatever it takes for their eyes to be unveiled. We also speak your healing power on any listener tonight suffering from a serious infirmity. For you are the healer, and our only hope is in you alone. We pray for your divine protection over Israel's soldiers, and may tonight's study glorify and bless you. And we ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, before we delve into the feast, we should talk a little bit about Israel.
Oh, my goodness, for sure. Even though Israel has made a serious dent into Hezbollah's communications, Hezbollah is still responding daily with a lot of airstrikes, like over 200 on Sunday and Monday, and more today. Therefore, Israel, too, has now offensively picked up its airstrikes in Lebanon. Israel has so far killed many top heads in Hezbollah, including the terrorist Ibrahim Aqil. If you remember, that's the guy that killed over 200 Americans in 1983 at our embassy in Beirut. And by the way, instead of thanking Israel, Blinken told them to slow down.
Even though the U.S. has been trying to get him for decades.
And there was a $7 million bounty on his head. However, Israel has had enough with Hezbollah and is preempting with many rockets, even telling the citizens of Lebanon to move out of harm's way. And Washington continues to try to negotiate still with Hamas, even though it has been a standing rule forever. You're really not supposed to negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, well, you know, anyhow, it's really too late for that.
Oh, it is. Now Israel just has to win. And they are on the march to do so, hitting about 300 targets in Lebanon on Sunday.
And more yesterday and today.
Netanyahu is extremely serious now, even if ground troops are needed to invade in order to move Hezbollah forces north to the other side of the Litani River, which is about 18 miles away from Israel's northern border. And Washington is sending more troops to the Mideast to help the 40,000 that are already there.
More as a deterrent than anything else.
I think so.
So, the IDF dropped leaflets in southern Lebanon.
They did. That's how they warned the residents to evacuate the areas, which read like this. Hezbollah's activities have forced the Israeli military to target military sites. So if you are in a building containing Hezbollah weapons, you must leave the village and not return until further notice.
Things are really advancing.
Indeed, Hezbollah even hides rockets in people's larger homes.
And over here, many suspect that Trump's two assassination attempts was an inside job.
You think? We can see how the FBI, Secret Service, and Homeland Security are slow walking its answers. And Mayorkas is a complete failure in everything. FEMA, Secret Service, Homeland Security, the border.
And yet we can't get rid of him?
We tried, but not enough votes to oust him. It's such a sham, and yet half of all Americans want to re-elect the Democratic Party.
And you know, it's actually unbelievable. And the UN General Assembly is meeting this week in New York.
Oh, that's another thing. Yes, Biden spoke today and Netanyahu is speaking on Thursday. But the major topic is the New World Order, with each nation voting with signatures their resolve to make it happen. And yesterday, most did agree to what they term the Pact of the Future. So, yes, they adopted it. by consensus. And those not signing were like Russia, North Korea, Iran, Syria, China, Iraq, Cuba, and 15 others who want to stay a sovereign country. But yes, the U.S. was in favor of a world order with the U.N. at the helm. Now, we're going to have a lot more of this next week when I get more information, but it looks like it's moving fast with a digital currency topping the list.
You mean a cashless society?
Yes. And not sure yet what the U.N. will do about those who refuse to comply, so we'll see.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministry.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006 or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our newsletter mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you can access any of our past programs, letters, and added teachings. Okay, time to move on to Rosh Hashanah and the fall appointments of God.
Well, we're only 1 week away from the start of the yearly three feasts of the fall season. However, I must tell you that on the Essene calendar, Rosh Hashanah was last week because they follow the equinox and the solstices, wherein Israel, still today, follow the Hebrew lunar calendar. Now, both calendars acknowledge the feasts in the month of Tishrei, but the Essenes recognize it as God's Feast of Trumpets, where the Hebrew calendar celebrates the new year, called Rosh Hashanah,
which lasts for 2 days, Tishrei 1 and 2.
So I must also say and hope I don't confuse you, but the Essenes do celebrate the Feast of Trumpets in Tishrei, but they recognize the actual creation 6 months earlier in the month of Nisan. And I suspect that was because God rearranged the months, if you recall, in Exodus 12, making Nisan the first month, since that is when they escaped Egypt to a new land. The Hebrews differentiate their calendars by calling it the civil or first calendar, beginning in Tishrei, with the creation of Adam.
And the Exodus 12 rearrangement is called the religious calendar.
Right. And it is important to remember when reading any dated passage after Exodus 12 in your Bibles, it's always referring to the religious calendar.
Right.
And we'll leave it at that for now, because honestly, the Essene calendar can be confusing, especially because they count in Onas and Jubilees. But on the other hand, is often beneficial when it comes to eschatology.
Which is why we refer to it on occasion.
Now, especially the Jubilees. And the next, which should be the last one, is when the Millennial Kingdom begins. In other words, this next Jubilee, which is 50 years, will run over into the Millennial Kingdom, or can anyway, if that's the case. And many think that will be the definitely the case, including the Essene calendar, which we will be addressing in more detail next year after our short sabbatical.
But 2025 is a Jubilee year.
It is, and also called the Shemitah year. And that always begins with the remaining 49 years to follow. But we'll cover all that later.
So explain why Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days.
Again, using the lunar Hebrew calendar, back then the new moon could only be proclaimed when they saw its first sliver for that month. So just to be sure they really saw it, they made it a two-day feast. And it was a two-day feast when Jesus was here. Therefore, this appointment of God took on a common expression of
no one knows the day or the hour.
Jesus knew when he said that in Matthew 24 that they would know what he was referring to. And really, only God can pinpoint the actual moment of the new moon anyhow.
Well, you know, there wasn't a NASA back then.
Right. Anyhow, we know for sure that Jesus some year soon will literally fulfill all his appointments, just like he did in the spring with his death, burial, and resurrection. And 50 days later, sent the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2.
Those appointments he already kept were on Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, and Pentecost.
Which took us into the current church age, which lasts for 2 days.
Hosea 6:2.
Which means 2,000 years from when he went back to his place in 32 A.D.
So time's almost up.
Now, I know many say Jesus died in 33 A.D., but that's simply because they are not familiar with the first century Hebrew roots. So therefore, following the, well, you could say Catholic narrative that in the year 33 A.D., Nisan 14 or Passover fell on a Thursday. However, and this is worth noting, they don't know that on God's calendar, the week Jesus died, Passover began on Wednesday at sundown when Jesus ate the Last Supper and then died just before sundown, still Passover, on Thursday.
So, definitely not Friday.
Now, the Essenes say it was Wednesday, but I have a problem with that since the Hebraic roots teaches the lamb had to be examined for 4 days before prepared. When Jesus rode in on the donkey on Palm Sunday, he then entered the temple and was examined by the Sanhedrin and Pharisees for 4 days in fulfillment as required as the Lamb of God. Taking us to Wednesday after sundown for the Last Supper and sacrificed the next day on Thursday at 3 o'clock. Then taken down before the high holy Sabbath day of unleavened bread. And that begins, as the scriptures say, in John 19:31, because it says the next day was a high holy day.
So we can assuredly conclude for sure he did not die on a Friday.
Absolutely not. And it was 32 A.D. And if one wants to study that in detail, Sir Robert Anderson did a thorough teaching on that many years ago in his book called The Coming Prince, and you can still get that on Amazon. And he also explains in detail Daniel 9:24-27 quite elegantly. And by the way, Jesus was raised 3 full days later, early Sunday morning.
Therefore, dying on Friday does not equal 3 full days.
And nights, correct.
Mm-hmm.
And we go over that every spring, which are archived on shofarministries.net. Also, let us repeat that the Essenes wrote that the last set of the Jubilee years begins in 2025, and therefore we believe could likely be the year of the rapture on a Rosh Hashanah on either the Essene calendar or the Hebrew calendar a week later. And they're both between Tuesday and Thursday. So it really is true that we cannot know the exact day or hour, but definitely in the fall and possibly next year. Then after the 7-year tribulation would be his second coming in the year 2032, exactly 2,000 years from when he left.
Confirming Hosea 6:2. Well, of course, spiritually, all 7 feasts and the Sabbath is fulfilled in the born-again Christian.
And that's important to note, and praise God it is. But physically and literally, there are still 3 appointments yet to be fulfilled, again, literally. With the next in line, of course, is my favorite for obvious reasons, Rosh Hashanah, which this year on the Essene calendar began last Wednesday. But Israel goes by their Hebrew calendar, which will begin October 2nd at sundown. Then, 10 days later, is Yom Kippur. And then 5 days after that is tabernacles. But again, as Christians, you can say spiritually that there are really eight, because the Sabbath was also spiritually fulfilled, because Jesus is our Sabbath rest, for he lives inside of us.
And Hebrew 4 speaks about that.
Which is why his number is 8.
Meaning never-ending eternity.
Yes. So again, the Sabbath will also be physically fulfilled by Jesus when he returns in person at the second coming to earth to set up his kingdom, which is a total of 1,000 years of Sabbath rest. But remember, for the bride, the millennial kingdom begins at the rapture, when we go up to heaven for our wedding and honeymoon for 7 years. And then we'll return to earth for the remaining 993 years. And then comes eternity, when God brings heaven to earth, Revelation 21, that holy city. And then we'll see what God has in store for us then.
But it'll be great, I'm sure.
For sure. Okay, so moving on, the Hebrew word for feast is moed, which literally means a set time or appointment. And it's specified in Scripture, as in Leviticus 23, by God himself. And by the way, not only is there a spiritual and a literal application, but also they're historical, as when the Hebrews experienced their first Passover in Egypt, left after sundown on unleavened bread, and crossed through the Red Sea on the Feast of First Fruits, and was given their Torah 50 days later on what would be considered the first Pentecost.
It's amazing how this teaching of God's appointment has been so neglected.
I know, it seems so crazy. Mm-hmm. A few churches are now recognizing this treasure, but it should have been taught right alongside the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, which also originated back in Exodus 20. And as you know, in the New Testament, Jesus simplifies all 10 with just 2 commandments in Matthew 22. Love God and love your neighbor.
However, in today's immoral society, most should stick to the 10 to be more specific.
Good point. They need it.
I say that because I once heard a guy say, "Yes, I do love my neighbor, and I visit her all the time."
Oh, that's funny, Dan. Well, that's a good reason why we need to be precise. But if you read the whole New Testament, Jesus speaks often about immorality. And in Revelation 21, verse 8, he is very specific and says, "No sexually immoral people will inherit the kingdom."
Okay, back to Rosh Hashanah.
Okay, the first of the last three, again, still literally unfulfilled fall appointments of God, I'll say it again, is Rosh Hashanah, meaning the head of the year.
As in God's new year.
Yep, the calendar changes. And the civil calendar begins in the Hebrew month of Tishrei, whereas the later biblical calendar from Exodus 12 begins at Nisan, when the Hebrews left Egypt, and the month Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected. Anyhow, at the end of the 6,000th year from Adam's creation, the resurrection is expected to happen, and that specific year is known only to God, because the years, especially in ancient days, due to the captivities, were miscalculated. Rosh Hashanah is also called, as I said, the Feast of Trumpets, because it's a memorial celebration of the blowing of trumpets, as written in Leviticus 23, verse 23.
In the seventh month, on the first of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation.
Hebrew for convocation is mikra, meaning rehearsal, and a holy gathering, which they do every year. So we've been telling you for 30 days during the previous month of Elul in the season of Teshuvah, just prior to the Feast of Trumpets, that the Israelites would blow a shofar every day as a reminder and a warning to examine themselves thoroughly for anything that might keep them from being a part of the most talked about and anticipated event some year called the resurrection. Again, this season of Teshuvah that we're still in means to return to a closer union with God.
Not just about repentance from sins.
Right, for they did daily sacrifices for those all year long, but also a warning time about unforgiveness in your heart.
As in not holding grudges toward someone.
And to not let the cares of this life supersede personal time with God in His scriptures.
So, this is a good time to take stock of yourselves.
Right.
Ourselves.
That's right. We know as born-again Christians, Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice for our sins. But what about all those things we should do but do not?
Or maybe you find yourself going backwards a little at a time.
Or perhaps you only have a head knowledge, not a real conversion of the heart. This would certainly be the time to examine your heart, because some year, and very soon, my friend, He will shout for His bride. And James 5 says it will be in the season of the great harvest,
which we all know is in the fall.
Amen. And Jesus has kept His first four appointments in the spring, so we know the next appointment is the Feast of Trumpets and the new year to be fulfilled by the resurrection / rapture. And so they eat fruit and honey to symbolize and to anticipate a sweet new year. So next week we will look at some common idiomatic phrases used for Rosh Hashanah. But we have time for my favorite one used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:51.
Oh yeah, my favorite too. The last trump.
Unfortunately, it's probably the most misinterpreted idiom and a perfect example of why some knowledge of Hebraic roots is so important, especially when it comes to eschatology. This expression is used due to the fact that not only is a shofar blown every day during Teshuvah, they also blow it on the 30th day called the Feast of Trumpets, and that's 100 trumpet blasts, and at the last trump would usher in the feast and celebrate God's creation.
Sort of like the ball dropping in Times Square on December 31st.
Yes, and it's important to note that the seventh angel that blows a trumpet in Revelation 11 is not the same.
In fact, Pentecost has an idiom of the first trumpet.
Yes, due to the fact in Exodus 19, it was the first shofar blown by God when He gave them the law at Mount Sinai. And we have a lot more to share with you next week. But this is really important. If you are backsliding, or if you even wonder whether you are an in-name-only Christian of Matthew 7, with only a head knowledge and not a true heart conviction, as in no desire to be in His Word, that's a biggie, then get on your knees right now. Don't wait. If you hesitate, the enemy might steal this seed away. Repent of your individual sins that have a stronghold over you. Then commit or recommit your life to Yeshua. He's no respecter of persons. He is the Messiah to anyone who wants Him. Remember, God sends no one to hell. You decide yourself where your soul that never dies spends eternity. It really is your call. Don't be a fool. The Aaronic blessing says, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.